This is Akafe. Laura Marie and Jessica Marie proudly present A Court of Fandoms and Exploration, a podcast. Fair warning, everything the hosts say is explicit, full of spoilers and adult content, and shall not be used against them. They have opinions. Let's try not to drag anyone for expressing themselves and just have fun for an hour. We all deserve it.
This episode contains spoilers from The Phoenix King, with mentions of City of Brass, Star Wars, Firefly, and Iron Widow. For full list, please see show notes.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to A Court of Fandoms and Exploration, your weekly deep dive into the fantasy, literature, and fandoms that we love. I'm Laura Marie.
And I'm Jessica Marie.
And today we are discussing The Phoenix King, book one in the Revenant trilogy by Aparna Verma,
which is actually picked up by a traditional author. It originally started as a self-published, indie-published book known as The Boy with Fire. I'm not sure if you can still find these copies. Laura and I had got them a while back, and you actually read this book initially as The Boy with Fire. I think you even posted a couple TikToks of reading it at the hair salon. and then you've gone back and read it through The Phoenix King, probably at least 2.5 times for this episode. It's like, what were your differences? What was your experience? Like, how has it been reading it that way?
Excellent question. Thank you for asking. So excited. Oh my gosh. Nervous. How can I possibly answer this? Wow. I'm on the spot. Okay. I love The Boy with Fire. I have it in my hand right here. I got this copy off Amazon. I saw the author's TikTok and she was describing her female main character. And I was just like, sold. Absolutely. What is this? Sold. So I got this off Amazon. I'm holding it here. It is really solid. It is a solid, solid book. When the author said that her book was being re-released as The Phoenix King, and it had been, I guess edited a bit more and tidied up a bit. We have The Phoenix King and the differences. Okay. I mean, I can hold them next to each other. If you're a visual person, we could for the video. I mean, here you go. The top is the original version. The bottom is the new. I mean, here you go, right here. The original is a lot shorter. And I do think that isn't a formatting thing. I think the story is just a lot shorter. I think the original is just lacking the details. And
World building details?
Yeah. The details of the specifics of the world building, the colors of the sandstone and the intricacies of the embroidery and the shadow play, on the desert and the smells, all of these things, the characters in the bazaar and the markets and all of this stuff. That stuff is much richer and more alive in this version. But the ending is still the same. The plot twists are still the same. All of that is still the same. It is just a much richer tapestry of a really interesting world. And Jess, you and I were talking before we started, and you said that you might potentially be climbing out of your book slump with this new interesting story. Is that right?
Yes, I've just kind of been in a weird place. And it's also kind of reassuring to see other people on socials feeling like we've all been in this collective book slump since end of January, early February, which is also we've been, we've been nonstop since 2020. So to actually hit a little wall and feeling like nothing is hitting for you, it's clearly a me thing, but this book really made me feel like, wow, it's another book to be excited about again, and fantasy in a different environment, because this was reminding me of the City of Brass. Like when I think of the environment, it was, I was thinking, okay, this is very City of Brass. But then there's a lot of technology with hoverboards and holopods. And when I think of holopods, I also think of Star Wars and holograms. And, but knowing, having City of Brass in the background, I'm also thinking of the show Firefly, where you had the technology, but it's still a very desert-like environment. So that's kind of where I was visually here for this book. But you had other comparisons, too, that I didn't necessarily pull from.
I like this book. I mean, spoiler, I guess. I like this book, I guess, yeah, a lot. I've read it a lot. I liked this book because it reminded me so much of the joy that I felt when I was reading Iron Widow.
Still such a good book.
Still such a good book. Because it was a romance, but like not so much of a focus on the romance. It was a very like religious society and like manipulating that society and like interplay with the people and media and like all of this kind of political interplay.
Yeah. And the romance, I wouldn't even say is secondary. It almost feels tertiary because yeah, it's so, and it really doesn't come into play till spoiler, like later in the book, maybe a hidden glance here or there. But when I say later in the book, like the book's 90% done.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. And I would also say that I read this through, and here's where I'm going to say I have a problem. Jess, I have a problem and admit to you. I did this through the audio. Okay. I did this through the audio.
For this recording.
Recording, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, because you've read it so many different times at this point.
Yeah, I've done this through the audio for this recording, and I've really kept into that headspace, and I haven't actually, like, cracked the physical book in a while. So my notes have the spelling of like my stupid brain and not like the actual spelling that is in the glossary that is provided to you in the Phoenix King. So it has rendered me useless right now. I have to like look at my notes and just be like, yeah, no, I know what I'm saying. I know it. I can't look at that because it will throw me off. Because I'm so in the audio zone.
Right.
And that is just like my own personal little issue right here.
Well, as Vampire Diary fans, if I had read Alina's name, Elena, I would have just been stuck on Elena. But because we did audio version for this one, too, I knew Alina. And then you had sent me a text earlier this week about something you found on socials. And you're like, oh, this reminded me of Alina. And you spelt it the way how I heard it. And I go, oh, she's doing the audio.
Yeah, I'm doing the audio.
And I didn't start co-reading till later after that. So I was like, oh, I'm glad she said Alina because it would have thrown me off, too.
Yeah, so my notes need to be like burned after this because they will be intelligible to anyone else. But okay, let's get into this book. This book, let me look at the physical copy here. I know the audio is hefty.
Yeah, it's like 20 plus hours. I think the book itself is like 600 something pages, almost 700, I want to say.
Let me take a look. I'm looking at, well, okay, here's the other thing. There is a bonus chapter in both the audio and the hard copy, or sorry, the paperback. It's not a hard copy. It's a paperback. There's a bonus chapter. So if you want to get like super specific, our story ends on 463, but then there's like that bonus chapter, which in the audio is like 20 extra minutes. So.
Oh, 463. Oh, I get my ebook has like six something. I guess that's my font. I don't know.
I don't know how that works, but I did just get a glance at the glossary. So now I'm all screwed up. So Jess, please tell me the correct way to say these character names.
Well, we're just going to do some like highlighted characters. So we have Yasin, who is one of our main characters. He is Samson, another male main character's friend, a childhood friend. Yasin is also an assassin. You have Alina, who's our female main character, and she has, it's called the Sphere, and it's kind of like your protector, your guider. She has someone named Firma, who is also her mother's sphere, and she's also like Alina's mentor. Like I said, you had Samson, who eventually becomes betrothed to Alina, politics and, you know, connecting communities. Jonjir is part Jathari, and Leo, which is Alina's dad, who is also the Phoenix King. He oversees their Ravens, I don't want to say territory. I feel like those are our keys. And Sathi, right?
I'd say Syna, the high priestess.
Oh, Syna, yes.
Yeah, she's important because she's the key to the deception, right?
Like, Yeah, because you know what happened? I knew her name, and then I looked
at it. You saw
it.
Don't look at it.
I saw it, and it fucked me up.
Don't look at it. Stay in the audio. Stay in it. Close it. Don't look at it. Don't look at it.
Okay. Don't look at me.
Don't look at me. Don't look at me. All right. Does this follow the pattern? I say yes. We get everything in the first five. We get Yasin's in the prologue. What do you think?
Yeah, I think part of me reading this book, I spent so much time in the prologue trying to be like, does this follow the pattern? Even though I had not even read it yet, I know nothing. And I reread the prologue twice before I even started the book to try to pick up something. I was like, it's going to be in the pattern. And then something happens at the end of the prologue where I go, I don't know what that means, but that's the fitting.
That's it.
I was like, that's it right there. And then we get into chapter one, which is more of like Alina's POV, even though we're in Yasin's chapter because it starts off with Yasin. But like chapters one and two, those are also lay it out. But we've always said with the pattern, it's usually within the first five chapters. Laura just loves when it's all laid out in the prologue. But even all of that aside, this does follow the pattern.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, prologue. Yasin is he's an assassin, and he is attempting to assassinate.
He's assassinating.
He's assassinating.
The assassin is assassinating.
The assassin is doing his job. He is climbing up a wall, and he is saying over and over again, "One more dead king, and you will be free." And that's his whole freaking plot. That's his whole plot right there. It's just one more thing, and then he'll be free. And then he finds his freedom in his love and devotion to Alina. It's like a whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then to just like double this, because I'm going to say it. Yasin's the red herring here. In this story,
boy
on fire. He slips on the log here while he's trying to assassinate the king, and he cannot assassinate this king, and he misses, and the fire first tries to burn his pants, but his pants are wet, and then he slips on the log again, and it goes up his whole freaking arm, and then he bungles everything, essentially escapes and jumps into the sea and passes out. And that's the last we see him in the prologue.
He passes out a lot.
Yeah.
Like overall in this book.
Yeah. And that is the prologue. And that is Yasin's entire plot. I mean, obviously there's more like betrayal. There's a lot of betrayal here. But that's his like thing. And then if you go into chapter one, we have to be forgiven, one must be burned. And Yasin also very much struggles with forgiveness throughout this whole book. It's like one of the things that is in the back of his head the whole time. Like, I don't deserve to be forgiven. I've done too much. Like,
yeah, there's a lot of lack of self-worth that he has.
Yeah. On top of this, I would say I hesitate to call it like religious trauma because it does turn out to be like real. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, It's tough. The thing that I really enjoyed about this book is just I guess this is a spoiler. It's the straight fact that Leo the king walks into fire, sits down, and doesn't burn. when I read that the first time, I was like, that's a trick. There's no way. And then when it's revealed that it's real, I was like, whoa.
Like it wasn't a smoke and mirrors thing.
Yeah.
And there were witnesses because typically it's just hearsay, right? And they have witnesses for a reason.
And we have his POV of him just like in it. And I just thought that was so freaking cool and just really interesting and just something that, you know, you don't. I don't know. It was just new and it really piqued my interest. So, okay, but we'll get to that in Leo's chapter. I think he's in 5. But here, Yasin is on his way to Jonthar.
You were on it for chapter 5. It is chapter 5.
Hey, Yasin is in a boat. His right arm is burned and like semi-lame. He is on his way to the Brass City. I just love that. That's just so fun. The City of Brass is a fantastic, fantastic trilogy if you are interested in that. They are on their way to the City of Brass, the Brass City, to figure out where Samson is so that he can meet with him. Yasin, meet with Samson, his childhood friend who is a turncoat.
Yeah, I was like, who we also covered for. Like, that's kind of like their history is that they were like orphan kids together and Samson fucked up, but Yasin like took, you know, he was like, look, let me take it for like both of us. He would get lashings and he would pass out and Samson would promise him, was like, I got your back. But Samson did not have Yasin's back, and Yasin's kind of been struggling making his own way since.
Yeah. And now, since he failed to assassinate the king, he struggles, as Jesse said, with his self-worth and also just with his physical ability to, like, do things. He really struggles with his arm being burnt so badly, and he does hide it for most of the book. And it is brought up over and over and over again, like, dude, what's going on? Okay. But we'll get there. So when Yasin gets into the city, he's on like a little scavenger hunt from Samson to like find the bull, read the message in the teacup, fight the guards, go under the dock, get in the submarine.
And all of it is very childhood coded. So he's like, oh my gosh, yeah, I can't believe he remembered. This is my favorite tea flavor. And oh my gosh, this was our nickname for each other when we were growing up. So it was just in his Yasin's mind, he's a little bit like, oh, he still cares.
Yeah, a little bit. And then they have their like cute little moment. But we'll get there. Alina, 2 is Alina's chapter. Alina is out in the streets. She is going to, right? She's going to rallies. She needs
She's
to
in
meet.
Disguise because she is the princess. It was very Princess Jasmine of her going through the market.
Very. She's got her holopod with her and she has Firma. Firma is one of my favorite characters in this book.
I knew she would be. I loved her. She was great. Her hair, what a badass, the hair. But and I love, like, okay, so hey, I'm jumping into Firma real quick, but Firma's hair is a weapon. They use it as a weapon. There's so much magical, I want to say magical, and it feels that way, but I think it's just like the symbolism of hair that coincides with like the strength of it too, which I think is really pretty.
Oh my gosh. I just love Firma. Firma is Alina's like, as you said, Jess, her spear, and she's just keeping her safe as they go about the city because Alina is plotting. There are factions. Okay, here's the politics. Here's the politics.
Yes, please explain to me because that was the thing that I know we talked about, and we'll get into it also at the end of this episode about like the politics of it all or my experience with it.
The politics. From what I understand, and I could be completely wrong, the politics are Leo is the king. Leo needs supporters that are completely loyal to help secure his throne and Alina's throne. You know,
he wants yes men. He wants people who don't question anything.
Yeah, that just do his bidding, like pawns. So he has the gold caps.
Those are the gold caps.
Okay. Yeah, those are the gold caps, which are like cops. Just, I mean, they're not palace guards, but they're like cops, and they're out there and they're doing all sorts of shit.
And they're kind of like his underground network too. Like if there's like rumblings on the street,
yeah,
they kind of like keep their ear to the ground there and report back to Leo.
Yeah. Yeah. So Janjir is the like passionate speech giver who's out there trying to recruit people and being like, you know, we're royalists. Like we need to secure everything. Da, 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 da. And Varun is like his second in command or whatever. And Alina is trying to get Varun and Janjir to turn on each other, thus disbanding the gold caps. Because Alina does not understand why a monarch would want to be surrounded by an army of yes men. She's like, no, essentially it's gross. Like we need to be with the people.
Yeah. She's more like democratic ideas and like going with a democracy, and her dad is very much monarchy. This is how it's been. This is how it always should be.
Yes. Also the gold caps methods. So she would agree with them with their ideology. She says in this like opening part, she's like, I could listen to Janjir speak all the time, but then I see that gold cap on his head and I remember what his methods are. And he uses violence. He manipulates the refugees. He manipulates politics, and he just like fucking murders people. And she hates that.
Yeah, because it's very much I'm not going to say anything on record because who knows who's listening. But it's like governments, they take one person. And all of a sudden, you're like, where's that person? Where's my friend? What do you mean you haven't seen him? All of a sudden, they're MIA and never to be seen of again. And that's gold camps.
Well, and also speaking of never to be seen again, we see him a couple more times. But then, spoiler, he's dead as fuck because we have Ishaat, the Makana merchant here, where she's like, like make it really spicy and then like double the chai, like make some money, my guy. Like her friend, we meet him here for the first time. And he's talking about Ishaat is talking about how he wants to leave the kingdom because of the influx of political unrest with Jonthar and with the coronation coming and with the influx of refugees.
He was the one that they plant the weapon on. And she was like, I know this is a lie. Yeah. I've known this man forever and I can't say anything because I've been out here in the market secretly, but I know it wasn't him.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And the Sasharian refugees that are pouring in are Samson's people. They are the island people that Jonthar has overtaken and is forcing to work in the mines. And Samson has taken those people. Yeah, exactly.
Because Samson's Sasharian.
Yes.
Sasharian. Okay.
Sasharian. We're in audio. Don't look at it. We're in audio. Sasharian. Yes. Yes. Yeah. There's also a little mention here of a wind snatch game, which is brought up later when Anna is brought up between Jasmine and Alina. Oh, I got it. I got it.
You're on it. Yeah.
I'm on it. I am on it. Okay. I have lots of notes. But the rally is taking place at Jasmine's tea shop. And of course, Jasmine's tea shop takes place here. It's in the past. It's in the future. It's everywhere. This is where Alina goes in and she's like, hi, Jasmine, I have to do this meeting. My name is Anna. And Jasmine goes pale. And Alina's like, that's weird. I should ask about that. And never does.
And never does.
Never does until later. And then she's like, oh, okay. All right, fine. But it's here where Alina starts to implement her plan, which is to have Varun and Janjir turn on each other. She gives Varun reports that Janjir is actually a secret Jovani agent and that he was recruited a while ago. So not only is Janjir a traitor, but Varun is working for a traitor. And when the palace comes down, on Janjir, they're going to get Varun too. So you should turn him in. And Varun's like, okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, the politics between Varun and Alina are so, they're like one for one with each other, because she even goes like, she gets distracted with something or something comes up and she was like, shit, I really got to meet Varun. Whereas I know I'm jumping ahead here, but then she kind of was trying to be on the down low about something. And he goes, oh, you were trying to hide. And she left her holopod with her family crest specific to her. He goes, well, I got you cornered. When she's like, fuck, what do I want? What do you want?
Jessica Marie, you are confirming the pattern. You are confirming the pattern, because right here in this back half of chapter two, which is Alina's chapter, Firma goes, yo, did you give him the right pod? And Alina whips out her pod and she's like, yeah, totally. I gave him the one that didn't have the crest on the bottom. That is only for the royal family. I have that one right here. I gave him the right one. And it's like, huh, that won't be important later.
Right, because then that's the only pod she has left, and that's the one that she throws and he finds on site. And yep. And that's when she's like, oh, what do you want? I like that whole thing. I love that whole, she's like, shit. She goes, but I don't want to kill him. And she's like, well, do you want to be made?
Yeah, for real. It's like, well, what about that? Just tell me about these little boys.
I don't know if I can tell you shit right now.
Yes, you can. My brain is mush. Tell me about these little boys, Yasin and Samson. This sub emerges from this lake. Samson is on the dock. He's waving. He goes, hello.
Oh, Yasin, they're like,
comes
they're
over, and the sub goes hiss, and they go, and it's very funny.
I know. And because they haven't seen each other in years. This is kind of their reunion. And Yasin is still kind of skeptical, because in the back of his mind, he keeps saying, this motherfucker was supposed to have my back and he didn't. And Samson is the type of, I don't want to say leader. Samson is the type of person who is charismatic and will have anybody side with him. I think that's the best way, because he engages with Leo and Leo's like, okay, I like you. And then he engages with Alina and she's like, huh, you're charming. And he wins Yasin over really quickly. Like, no time has ever passed. He's like, I know I fucked up. I was supposed to have your back then, have my back now, and I'll really have your back this time. And Yasin can't help but be skeptical, but want to believe him, because I think it just coincides with like him not having a self-worth, him not having a home, him trying to find himself within other people. And that kind of comes full circle later at the end, where he's like, look, I was an orphan. I was here. I was there. I can't find a place to fit in, more or less. And he's constantly looking for that. And here's this person from childhood where he feels like, well, this could be really easy. Sure, I'll help you out, because what else do I have going on for me, really?
Exactly.
Well, and also the promise that he's like, if I do this for you, though, I need my freedom. Like, because he was doing all of these, like, he was going through all, like, if I just do one more assassination, because I feel like the back end of that I don't think was really fleshed out, is those agreements where you're like, yeah, you could do one more, but, like, just do one more and we'll really let you go this time. And I feel like with Samson, he's like, look, here's my plan. I'm going to marry a queen. I'm going to like have control of a country. And then once I'm in this political position, I got you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're so good. You're so good with that. Now.
Thank you. I was like holding my breath for that one. I did not know if I was on the right way.
You were. Oh my goodness. All right. And just building off of what you say, in this reunion scene here, we have just plot, 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 plot.
Yes. So, that's what I put. I go, politics, chapter four, reread. So much politics. That's what I know.
So much politics. So let's go through this Samson, Yasin politic situation here. Okay. Samson, right away, he is wearing his signet ring, right? We have a 3-note call of peace from the birds. So Yasin knows that it is safe. That can't possibly be important later. We have the realization that the palace that Samson has built for himself in the middle of these mountains is worked by Sasharians that Samson has taken from King Baran from the Jonthar mines, because this is in Jonthar. Okay. Now, Samson has Cassian as Yasin's code name. That's what they used when they were little. This palace is in the middle of the mountain base here. It's like a big military base, and we will see it later. It is like so important later. And Samson bought it from Farin and the King Farin of Jonthar. And the deal was that, yeah, you can like totally have that, Samson, but I want you to use your men to protect my men that are mining very precious ore in these mountains. And Samson is like, all right, yeah, bet. Okay, fine. And Samson's background, just as you said, he grew up with Yasin. They joined the Aeroacene. And then, as you said, Samson escaped. He joined the Jonthar army, and he gave all of the secrets of the Aeroacene to the Jonthar army, and then ingratiated himself to King Farin. But they are like frenemies.
Samson's priority is Samson. It's just he is looking out for, number one, whatever survival for himself will mean.
Yep. But he is taking his people with him, because he has he is from the island of Sashar. His palace is worked by Sasharians. His army is Sasharians. They are called the Black Scales. There are dragons all over this fucking palace. All over this fucking palace, there's dragons. His army, the Black Scales. Alina is like, that's such a gross name. Like, why do they have that name? It's nasty, which is funny. And Samson is sitting here and he's like, all right, Yasin, like, I'm going to be like so real with you. So real with you. Okay. The Aeroacene have burned your name in the sand. Okay. Like, you're done. You're done. You're coming here. You have, Yasin, all of this information that you are giving to Samson that is burning your bridge with the Aeroacene. But Yasin is still fucking loyal to the Aeroacene and works with them to bring down Alina on her coronation, because it's just one more job. It's one more job. So Yasin was playing like kind of both sides in a way, but hedging his bets with the Aeroacene, which I think is kind of fucked up.
Well, he's been on everybody else's team but the Ravani.
Yes. It's just the politics. The politics are like yummy yum. They're just delicious here. Okay. So we learned right here that the Aeroacene are going to assassinate Alina after she is crowned queen on her coronation day. We know this. And Samson is like, yeah, like, totally. And who do you think is hired to provide the security? Your bestie, your boy, right here. Let's go. Like,
but what was the point with the Aeroacene? Because remember, there is a part later in the book where where Yasin goes to them and he's like, wait, when did we change the plan? I thought we were just going to like take the power from, Alina. Now we're killing her. And they were like, yeah, well, plans change. He's like, wait, what? I said I would be on your side. And essentially just kind of, because he would lie to her. He lied to her the entire thing. Like, of course, like, I don't know. Like, she's a better person than me by the end of this book, because she was like, fuck you, smacks him. The fact that she only smacks him once, maybe that's just some queen shit, because not me.
Okay. To answer your question, what was it? It was, what was the point of the Aeroacene when Samson was already coming?
Yeah. Weren't that like, there's like things working in tandem.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
There's so much working in tandem that Yasin is not and was never going to be told of the change of plan that Alina was going to be killed and her head was going to be presented to the King of Jonthar, because the Arrowa scene are propping up the King of Jonthar to take over Rovnance when...
Right, which is where we get in. Okay.
Yeah. And they and the Arrowa scene told Yasin that they were only going to depose Alina and then hold free elections for the people.
Yeah, okay.
And Yasin's like, what the fuck, man? Like, I can't. And then
they,
they're like...
This was always part of the Arrowasine's plan. They just never divulged all this information to Yasin.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's like, what the fuck? Like, coke. Like,
he's like, yeah, because then he was like, I wouldn't have helped you if that was going to be the case.
Yeah, but But Yasin doesn't tell Samson that about like that part of it because he's like, here I am. I'm giving you all of this information, all of these secret agents. We're going to prove my defection. Like, here you go. Right. Because we're going to go back to Rovnance and we're going to talk to the king and like we're going to be like in it. Right. We're in it. It is interesting knowing the ending of this book. I am desperate to be in Samson's headspace to know.
Oh, I hope we get that for book three.
Yeah. I need to know what he knows. I would like to know what he knows here.
Like, what's his piece in the whole cog?
Yeah. Like, does he know what he is here? Or is he, as it's like kind of mentioned later, activated when he fought? It's a whole thing. It's a thing here. We also have Yasin being like, again, I don't deserve forgiveness. All right. Four, Alina, I'm not going to give you every chapter just until we're out of the pattern. Then it's a free for all. But four, Alina, we have the introduction of the Fire Temple. We meet Leo for the first time. We are brought into this like religious experience. Now, I wrote down the temple is like an unfurling lotus. So the petals are like, you know, around. There's a dome in the middle, but the petals are all carved with the tenets of the Agni Path, which are truth, perseverance, courage, faith, discipline, duty, honor, and rebirth. But bam.
There you go.
Yeah, I got it.
Which are the skills that, like, not just the skills, but, like, are part, the Agni Path is kind of what you relate to when you're going to be wielding fire, which here is where we find out that Alina cannot, she's the only person in her entire family who has ever been able to wield the Phoenix Fire.
Well, and what's interesting too is that in that she's an unreliable narrator because that is her belief. Like she believes that she's the only one that can never hold fire. Leo knows what to do, and it is the tradition to tell them on like the day.
That's
right?
True. And he kind of withholds what's supposed to happen, which is the domino, not even a domino effect, which is the catalyst of why she has yet to wield fire.
Right. And he says, like, you know, my dad told me on like my coronation day and his dad told him on his coronation day. It's the tradition. And it says like Leo is anything. If he's anything, he's traditional. Right. So Alina is just plagued with doubt because she can't hold fire. And she's like, he won't tell me. Leo's like, just wait. I'll tell you.
Yeah, he won't tell me. He won't train me. She's like, look, if I'm not training, like, look what happened the last time I didn't train. I almost set the whole castle on fire. And, you know, servants talk. So everybody knows that, you know, it's the palace's worst kept secret that Princess Alina cannot wield fire.
Yep. And it is also here where Leo is like, yo, we need the gold caps. Yo, Samson and Yasin are coming. Samson's going to ask to marry you and Yasin's going to join your spear. And I don't care what you have to say about it. It's happening. Hush. And he and Samson will keep you safe. This is Leo's like kind of mantra. Like, I have to keep Alina safe. What can I do to keep her safe? All of this is for Alina. I've done all of this for her.
Yeah, and all the way till the end.
Yeah.
All the way till the final chapter POV that we have. It's interesting. And I'm not a parent, so I don't know. But when he's walking through it, you're like, man, this guy will do anything for his daughter.
Except die, which is what he has to do.
Which is what Firma calls him out on. Yeah. And he's like, ooh, she said the thing I didn't want to admit.
Yeah, she said it out loud.
She said the thing out loud,
That's the thing I'm sensitive about.
Because when he's telling her everything, which is the first time the reader is really finding out all the intricacies of how the lore works, you're like, so you won't die for your kid? And the thing is, her mother knew this, sacrificed herself, but that didn't make a fucking difference because it always had to be him.
So good. All right. We also have a definition of the arrow scene, just in case we didn't know. It is a criminal order, a criminal organization devoted to the New World Order that promote the people, not kings. And the final thought in this chapter is, Samson more than what he seems? Is he? I don't know. Perhaps. All right. We are almost out of the pattern. This is chapter 5. This is Leo. This is Leo's headspace. I really like Leo's headspace because it shows a descent into madness, a descent into like complete unforgivable acts and the justification of those acts. And also, he can fucking do the thing. I love that.
And I think to say that the descent into madness, there's already an, I don't want to say a curse, but that is what they call it. There's a curse on the family about everybody in this family goes mad, because that was what happened with Alina's mom. Her dad talks about it. With like his ancestors and their family tree. So, and he's constantly thinking, like, when you're in his headspace, you're almost led to believe that that is where we're going to see Alina go in this book and even try to gaslight her.
Yeah, a bit. You're just like, where is this going to go? I will tell you that I did not expect any of where this book was going to go. So when Sina comes and she's like, yo, Leo, I got to show you something. And she takes him down and shows him the boy with the runes on his back. And she interprets these runes as, what is it? Daughter of fire. And right here, Leo's like, I don't really think that's right, Sina. Cause my note says Leo suspects. Cause he's like, daughter of fire. Daughter? Are you sure? Like, the way that she, are you sure? And she's like, yeah, no, totally. Yeah, yeah, daughter of fire. And Leo doesn't really buy it. However, he does have this uncontrollable fear and disappointment as soon as Sina says that the prophet is coming. Because one, it's like, damn, it's not me. Like, because that was like the dream of every boy, is to like be the prophet. And two,
and they're kind of taught that because they are fire wielders.
Yeah. And the second thing here is that the emphasis of the phoenix, which is what I think so interesting, the phoenix being the vengeful god, right? And the prophet, and the two of them together are going to come and like burn the world, right? And this fear that like this can't happen for Alina. So I, Leo, it's going to be my job now to murder, find the prophet and murder them, because that'll fix it. Another one won't pop up. This is the like reasoning of men. It's totally fine. Like this God entity certainly won't just choose another person. However, it being 500 years since the previous prophet, I could see how he'd be like, let's test it out. Let's see. And we have the eternal flames like laughing a little bit at Leo. And Leo, his paranoia starting now, arrests Sina, the high priestess, and is like, yo, don't say any more of this. We're locking this shit down. You're researching all these runes. We're done.
Yeah, I will say, and Alina picks up on it too, where they arrest people for treason left and right. But it's not like treason where they're going to be unalived. It's more along the lines of, we need to keep you confined so you don't go running your mouth till after the time being we need, you know, you could be out.
Yep. So, okay. So now we are out of the pattern. We are out of it. That is everything. Everything for the story is right there. It's fantastic. So moving on, we have Yasin dreaming of fire. His arm is very painful. Very painful. It's been 1 week since he's been in the Moon Palace. He is like looking around. He's going to Ravens with Samson in his fur coat. His fur coat, the drip. I'd like to see it. And Yasin's like, you know, Gentari elite are the only people that like get that. Why the hell does he have that? I'm only bringing this up because it is here where Samson gives or shows Yasin a glance of the paper map that the tunnels are on. And this is where we have kind of the like deep introduction of this metal so sharp that it can cut steel.
Steel, right.
Yeah, that's like this. And that plot flushes out in the back half of this.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't remember that this was where, and maybe it's just because like, I just remember the end that we learn that these are the mines and like the Gentari mines, even though like at this point, at the end of the book, Ravens is conquered by the Gentari. Cause even, you know, we find Alina, she's like, where's Gentari or where's Janthar? And they're the little boy. It's like, oh, it's, they conquered everything. It's all Genthar now. Mm-hmm. But those are the caves that Yasin knew from when he was a boy and this whole time that like, and then from obviously earlier in our like, pattern chapters, that was the ore that is needed to cut the steel that Samson was referring to.
Yeah.
It's all full circle.
It's all there. It's all there. It's all there. Okay, let's like briefly skate through this because we're already running a little long, everybody. Let's do this.
Just from the pattern. Like, but
just
that's
from the pattern.
But this is also just to say, Laura, I know we talked about it before we started recording. It would be an anyone's best interest to do this as, you know, a reread. I only read this once. Laura has done this multiple times, per usual. And I try to share this and be a little bit transparent. I focus on the wrong things. I focus on the wrong names, or I just focus on like differentiating the names. And I think this is a great book to read it through to understand, kind of get the lay of the land, and then go back and reread it to really get a grasp on everything. And like, if you were going to go to book two, definitely reread this. But I definitely was focusing on the wrong things, or just if it's not a casual read, I guess, is to say, like, this isn't like, oh, let me just listen to it or like read it in a day, unless you're like super smart. And that's just not me right now. So
you are super smart. You are super smart. And I think in the vein of encouraging a reread, we will not be just like deep diving into this.
Right. No, this just isn't because, a deep dive. Yeah.
Yeah. This is, we're going to escape from the rest of this because there is just a lot here. We have Samson and Yasin arriving into Ravnance. We have them in the throne room. We have that nice little line about the marigolds and how Alina's going to get rid of them when she's queen. She doesn't want this.
I like that Alina's just like, yeah, fine. This is what my dad told me to do. I guess this is like the best. And, you know, her dad told her to do this. But at the same time, Alina's biggest thing is like her people. It's always her people first. So her dad told her to do this, but she's also thinking like, what about my kingdom? I'm going to be queen. Is this the best thing for my people? And she also gives Samson, she kind of like jests with him, I guess is the best way to say, because she's like, all right, I'm not the only person. We are not the only territory that you're trying to marry into. Like, be real. And he goes, he kind of respects her for that, too, to call him out on his bullshit. And he goes, yeah, but like they play. They also play. And this is where I say from where like I repeat from earlier, Samson's very charming. He knows how to play the politics and get people to kind of eat out of the palm of his hand.
He does. So much so that Samson and Leo like kind of work together to like plan an exhibition like Black Sands Day, right? We're going to show the might of the army. We're going to show our enemies like we're together. You're going to be like united. There's like these little subplots about rooting out all of the terrorists because Samson has turned over the map and agents that Yasin has given him, right? It's all like dominoes that are happening. All the plots are in play. So Samson winning over the king so quickly and Leo being like, but also like, son, okay, all right. Because he does like call him that a few times later. It is really interesting. And it is here, though, where Leo and Samson are like, yo, like, we're going to do all of this. But Yasin's going to burn at the end of this, right? Like, yeah. And Samson's like, yeah.
That was the part when I had to reread that part because I go, wait, Samson is selling after he yesed Yasin all the time. Mm-hmm. Yes, I got your back. Yeah, I owe you this. I totally fucked up when we were kids. He's still selling him out. I mean, like, as if Yasin is like just disposable.
And in the beginning, it was part of like the deal.
It was always part of it. Yes, it wasn't like this thing that was worked into with Alina after. That was always part of the negotiation. Neither Alina nor Yasin knows. All Yasin thinks his role in all of this is going to be like her spear also, at which point Alina's also pushing back because she says like, I have Firma. And Firma's like, I'm also in my 50s. Like, might want to slow down for me a little bit. I'm not as fast as I used to be.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, well, I mean, she doesn't have to. We love her. But I like also that I said I really like Leo's headspace, just his like story, his POV. I like that he immediately brings Samson in too, because he's like, yo, BT Dubs, like you are gonna hunt down this little girl with hair of starlight. Like the prophet is coming, the phoenix is coming. We are locking this shit down. That's gonna be your wife. That's your kingdom. This is your kingdom. This is your queen. Like, let's go. Like, something is coming. And the advisors to Leo are like, yo, no, you cannot do this. You cannot just like kill her. This prophet, this girl, with hair the color of starlight. And Leo's like, I'm the king. I don't know what to tell you. I'm the king.
I tried not to have predictions with this book. I really wanted to vibe, but this part I will say, like, oh, he thought his daughter with Alina was going to be the prophet and he wanted to kill her, and then it didn't go in that direction. And then I thought, oh, well, if he kills this girl, then it'll transition over to Alina, which is what he might have wanted. And then when none of that happened, and Sina is like, oh, yeah, I wanted you to kill that girl because we wanted the power. We knew if it wasn't going to be a priestess, it was going to be a priest. And we kind of wanted to get like, that's how I read, like, we wanted the control back kind of thing. And Leo was like, no, that's not how this is going to work. Now I'm going to kill all y'all.
All y'all.
And at that point, I just stopped guessing where this book was going to go because I got it wrong like 3 times all at the really beginning. And I was like, you know what? Let's just coast. Like, I'm not predicting anything.
So after Leo has this whole situation with our prophet of Starlight, and we'll get into that a little bit more. Alina has her own shit. Like, she's doing her own thing. She is just upset. Her dad's ignoring her. She needs to get out. She needs to go meet Varun. She needs to give reports. She needs, you know, he's got 2 days, but oh my goodness, what is going on? They have this meeting and Alina screws up. Alina has this like whole headspace of like, I should be thinking ahead. Like, Firma's thinking ahead. My dad is thinking ahead. Samson is thinking ahead. I should be thinking ahead. She doesn't. She screws up with the holopod later. She screws up here when she uses the unsung because he's like, okay.
Yeah, because this is the part where there's like a people protest. There's a protest and people start and people get killed.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is also where Varun is like, I think that you are not who you say you are and that you are someone in the palace. And that's going to come bite Alina in the ass later. It's just like so hard.
And even her reaction was like, crap, he made me.
Yep. And then we have like a really lovely sequence about how Yasin and Alina meet in the desert, and Yasin was like following her and she didn't realize it, but Alina knows the desert. They like get stuck in a storm and go to a cave. And it's really actually kind of sweet a bit. And there's also just practicing of Omnipath. So Omnipath is the path of fire that Alina finds when she's digging in the library because Leo's digging in the library. Jess, why is everybody digging in the library?
Aren't they digging in the library because they're trying to find out information of why her mother was always in the library? I mean, we're jumping around a lot, but there are flashbacks that we find out about her mom. Her mom died when she was younger because she kind of went mad, but also she sacrificed herself for her daughter, or so she thought. And they're just trying to find out more information. Like, what was it that her mother was looking into, trying to find out? What about, maybe there's something that they'll also find that'll help Alina wield her, you know, wield fire. She doesn't know why she can't, and she's trying to find out a why.
Yeah, she's trying to find out a why. And Leo's down there trying to figure out if Sina lied to him, and he's trying to decode the runes, but he's also reflecting on everything that Anna was thinking about before she jumped into the fire. So it's like very emotional for everybody, more or less. And I think that is really interesting. And they go back and forth into the library a lot. All good. All fun, because it's very secret. And I love Leo's office. I think that is so rad, the way that the fire goes up and like down and surrounds it. And like he can tell if somebody's coming close because the fire will like warn him. Again, I like that he can just do the thing. I like that a lot.
You know what I was thinking of when I was reading Leo's POV? Because you know how we get so much of his reasoning behind everything? It made me wonder if it was like a Valentine Morgenstern situation where you're like, wait, he's making some really good points. And I didn't know if I was being wooed the way people would get wooed with Valentine.
Well, you know, who can say?
Honestly, we've had read so many books that you can't blame me for like, is this a trap?
Yeah, who can say? Who can say? Who can say? Yasin and Alina are fighting in the arena, right?
Yeah, they're doing
in the arena.
And this is their second time they're doing hand-to-hand combat. They did one earlier because Alina basically didn't want Yasin to be her spear. And then here they were like, all right, let's go again. You and I, one-on-one, no audience. And even Alina internally was like, he let me win. Shit, like she won. But she's like, he let me win. I know he could have beat me if he wanted to.
It's like, damn. There is the moment where the fire scroll is found, right? I love, first of all, I love Firma. I just want to put this. And I love when Firma shows Alina the secret room later. Like that is just so amazing.
The secret room that she's like, the hidden one from her mom, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love it so much. But the Agni scroll that Alina finds when she's like in the desert with Samson, or in the desert with Yasin, and she like, you know, tries and she has all of this. I love this dance, this like seven form dance. Like yes. You see, like, I think it would be very beautiful. And it is through this dance that Alina starts like discovering little pieces of her mother. And she starts saying like, why did my mom leave like initials on everything? It's like, well, it's so she wouldn't be forgotten. So like she left her mark on something. I really, really like that.
Also really like when Leo would find her initials everywhere and he would be like, why are you using your maiden name? She's like, because your family is fucking crazy.
Because you're crazy.
She's like, you're crazy. We know the curse that your family has. I'm going to use my initials. I thought it was so funny. I feel like I hope we get more about Anna because I think we all would have loved her because we do with the flashbacks.
She is just, I liked her relationship with Jasmine too. It was very sweet. Very sweet. Okay. Alina and Samson are engaged. They are engaged and they have a lot of like really quiet little moments, but Alina is like wildly attracted to Yasin, which I think is just like very funny.
The whole time she's like, yeah, like it's when they both come into the room the first time, she's like, yeah, he's good looking, but damn, Yasin.
Yeah, she's like, damn. I'm bringing this up because there's this scene where it's like, where Jess, you mentioned it earlier, where it's like, you know, Samson, this can't be your only like play for the throne. Like, what else you got going on? He's like, there's two. I got two other ones, but this is the, you know, the one. And you know, she's like, you know, what do you want? Like, what, you know, what is all of this like about? And he starts like talking. He's talking the talk a little bit. And then she gets a little swindled and she's like, I can't hold fire. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it.
Yeah, she was so quick to like, because that, again, that was supposed to be like this whole secret. She's never told anybody. She was very loose-lipped about that with him. And then, you know, flash forward a little bit later where Samson says, oh, that your secret is that you can't wield fire. And she was like, and she calls herself out. How did you know?
Like, does everybody know?
Does everybody know? Like, oh, you know what I was just thinking of? Because I don't want to say that Alina and Samson have banter, because there was a couple that we talked about probably at the beginning when we first started our podcast, and you equated it to, it's not banter in the form of volleying, but it's banter in the form of darts. And that's what this feels like.
Yep. I like it. And there's also a little detail because Samson like kisses Alina like very briefly. He's like, I know fire, you know, reverence, dominus, like insidious power, all of this. He kisses Alina and she says like, damn, his lips are hot.
Yeah. Yes. But this goes to think like it throw, like when you say that, you're like, okay, is it like a physical attractiveness? But now knowing what we know at the end, that's a little drop in the ocean. Mm-hmm. Of the fireness and not, oh, they're just hot for each other.
It's interesting. Okay, moving on. Alina announces their engagement, you know, woo, power. Don't let Samson like steal your thunder when you're talking about peace in front of the press. Like, which okay,
I get it. You, Leo. Yes, I get where you're coming from.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then Leo and Samson start talking about the mine. And he's like, look, I know about the mine. I know that Farin is mining for ore. We got war going on. Like, what's happening here? Like, we need to talk. They go out to that military base. They burn the fuck out of the prophet. They burn her alive. Oh, my goodness. And then we have Black Sands Day.
Which is Black Sands Day. Is it just like taking like back the black? So usually if you're like, oh, I'll write your name in black sand. That is essentially what is like if you had the blood ruby on your head. Like if you have your name in black sand, you're getting like, you're on like the hit list. So by having a Black Sands Day, was that to take like ownership of like, we're not scared of anybody?
They are. So this is like a military exhibition. Think like those military parades in like North Korea.
Okay.
So this is one of those showing like the might of their army. So like, okay. Black Sands Day, look at us being able to burn all of your names in the sand with,
look at our power, fear with intimidation. Okay.
Yeah. And then Samson is saying, like, it's a wedding gift. It's a wedding gift, you know, to my wife, like, you know. And then
that's how he's positioning it to her. Right. Okay.
And Alina is like, you know what? I see all these men, you know, volleying for power. No man is going to take my birthright. Fuck them. I like that. She is standing on business from the beginning here.
Yeah. And she's like, and here's the thing. She knows she can do it. And her dad knows she can do it too, because she'll do, she'll make decisions and she'll make speeches. And even when she announced the engagement, she was talking to the people and she never thanked the gods. And that was already like right out the gate. People are like, what do you mean she didn't thank the heavens? What do you mean she didn't do these traditionally ritualistic things when it comes to addressing the crowd? And she wrangled it back in to be like, well, is this what you want? And even when she's speaking to journalists, she's like, well, what do you want? And they're like, I don't, you know, you don't want to upset the crown. So they're like, I want whatever you want. And you're like, well, you know what? I want what's good for the people. And this is what's good for the people. And there are moments where Leah will say, like, you're going to make a great queen. And she's just like, thanks, Daddy.
Well, speaking of being a great queen, we have to still deal with our king, Leo, who is having a ball to, you know, we have balls. There's a coronation coming. Let's invite the Genther king, Samson says. Okay. We're going out to the secret base to see Syna. Leo, overtaken by a vision. Leo turns gray. The desert sky melts. He sees a valley with two runes in there, a leafless tree, and a circle with a dot in it. And Mufasa... They get to the base and Mufasa's like, I have to show you something. And Leo's like, I fucking told you I had a vision on the goddamn plane. Like, you didn't use it. You were like, no, you were here the whole time. No, I wasn't. I was astral projecting in the goddamn desert and I saw these. Yeah, I like how he's like, no, I was right. And he's like, take me to Syna. I need to see Syna. And Syna's like, the prophet is reborn in the palace. The prophet is a priest. And Leo's like, you're lying. Bitch, you're lying. And I'm going to prove it. I'm going to prove that you're lying. I'm going to burn every single priest. Fuck it.
And let's priestess. Go. And he's like, and then I like how he puts it. He kind of puts it back onto them. Not that I think this is right, but I think it's interesting. But again, like with my mentality of, I already thought that they were kind of manipulating the situation, that they knew it was, they kind of wanted the prophet to be a priest. So that's why they wanted him to kill the 12-year-old girl. I also just came from like watching The First Omen twice, where that is what the church does, where they have all these like, I can't think of the word right now, but like basically all these turncoat nuns who are like, actually we're nuns for the Antichrist that are working in the Vatican. It's fucking wild. I never saw The Omen. So that's where my mind is with these priests and priestesses. So he's like, and you know what? You have nobody to blame but yourself, because if you just came forward to begin with, then this wouldn't be happening. And you know what? He's right. Because then Syna comes back and she's like, you know what? You're right. I do know. And I'm not going to tell you. So he was right that she's like, it is on you. You have nobody to blame but yourself.
Yeah, she burned her whole order by trying to be loyal and be stubborn. But like, you know, it is what it is. We have a sexy dance time between Alina and Yasin.
And you want to know something? The author, I'm assuming, because she posts this on her socials and she has like art on her website where she has fan art of this scene.
It's so sweet. Oh my gosh. So it's the Phoenix dance and like, it's supposed to be Samson, but he's not there. So Yasin steps in and it's very like, woo.
And I want to know what Firma's thing is to begin with, because she's like, no, Yasin, like your part in this dance is actually the most important part, not Samson. It's you.
It's like,
And in my head, I was like, that doesn't make sense. Just because he's the sphere, he gets more screen time in this dance. It didn't make sense.
I think it's really cute.
It's
She's like,
cute.
Okay. Yasin, though, is like, emotions. And he starts wandering the city. He sees where a bakery vacant. He remembers his childhood. He stumbles into a riot, which is the important part. And he gets chased away by all these gold caps. Basically, it's just to say, like, war is coming. And, like, it's going to kill all of us, right? This half-forgotten bird is not going to save us. Like, the city belongs to the people. It's just like really planting the seeds for a revolution. And Yasin is like, peace, I'm out of here.
Yeah. And I think Yasin's exposure to so many different groups of people and just like his own personal upbringing has built his ideology on like, this shit isn't real. Like, everything is fictitious. So, So when we have moments, we're like, oh, nope, that's really fire. And that's actually the Phoenix. And actually, the fire is like, is sentient. Oh, whoops. I was wrong.
Oops. This is also, so the gold caps come and they kill all these people that were at this like little riot. And this is the confrontation, the massacre that solidifies the break between Alina and her father, Leo, and the gold caps. Because Alina is like, yo, dad, like, you can't do this. Like, the people are going to rise up. Like Ishat didn't do anything. Like, they planted all of this. It's fake. And Leo's like, shut up.
Yeah, who was it? John Gier planted the weapons on the people.
Yeah.
To make it look like they, like, oh, see, we killed them because they were
attacking. Yeah. They were against the palace. They were enemies of the state. Yeah. And Leo's like, look, enough. They will keep the peace until you're queen. I will make sure the people accept you. It will be fine. And Alina's like, fuck off. You just want to stay in power. You don't want me to be queen. You want an army of people that are still loyal to you, and I will be a fucking puppet.
And then, and she's not wrong for any of it, because she, mm-hmm. I love this part. She goes, you want it. They're going to be loyal to you. Like, this is all you. Who's going to be loyal to me if I'm queen?
Mm-hmm. Where am I in all of this? And he's like, I will make them follow you.
But again, that goes, I know you know this, but I'm like yelling on her behalf. Like, yeah. And that again aligns with exactly what you're just proving her point further.
Yep. It is what it is. It is what it is. And then basically they just yell at each other and storm off. Alina and Firma have a really quiet moment with braiding hair. You know, I'll retire when I'm queen. I need you to be my Astra. You'll learn no matter what, Alina. You know, it's okay. It's fine. It is interesting then that when Samson and Alina go riding into like Phoenix Valley, Samson's like, yeah, you know, my mom was a priestess. Just saying, just throwing it out there. She dreamed a lot about a serpent and this ember.
Which is so, oh my gosh, that you bring that up. And then to have Sina have the serpent crawl out of her eye in front of Samson. Whoa. I forgot about the mom part with Samson.
Yeah, right? Like, this is also where Alina starts to think about, like, wow, like, Genthar and, like, their history of implanting metal into your body and becoming Cybermen. That's crazy. Like, thank God that's only limited to, like, the royal family. That would be crazy if the army... If they did that to the army and like these game suits that we wear, it would be crazy if our army wore those to make
Alina
us.
Alina is always, you're just like, you're so close.
You're so close, Alina. You're so close. My God. But she's not. To illustrate how far away she is, she's trying to do her Agni dance a little bit later and over by the fountain. And she just can't. And like everything erupts, right? She's like crying. Everything is like everywhere. And everything is awful. Leo burning and killing all of the priests right after this says something that really stuck with me throughout this entire book. So Leo is murdering all of the priests. Sina's there. He's like, the Phoenix isn't real. The prophet's a fanatic. You know, fire doesn't need this mouthpiece. Like, whatever. Fuck all y'all. His men do not have the stomach to continue killing all the priests. So Leo goes, send in the uni. That's Firma. Send in Firma to do what the men cannot do. Which is like, one, yes, absolutely. But also two, like, dude, don't you think like maybe if they're bucking at this, then you shouldn't be doing this?
And also, like, it does take her to get shit done a lot of times because she was the same person doing it with her mom, too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just Okay. Amazing. 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 All right. We have, what do we have? We have ceremonies. We have lots of ceremonies that are happening here. It is a Ashanta ceremony. Alina and Leo are in the flames. Yasin is there. Samson is there. Samson is noted to be enraptured. So the ceremony is happening and Alina cannot sit in the flames. She comes out, like, Yasin is there. You know, maybe it's a blessing, Alina, that you can't hold fire. And they're like talking or whatever. And Yasin,
this is where Yasin is telling Alina, like, his history with Samson, like, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And Alina, he almost falls into the fire and Alina saves him. And then she's like, oh my God, like, get away from me. I can't like do this. There's too much going on. Yasin goes out and Samson is smoking weed. He's like, I think you need this. I think you need to calm the fuck down. And Yasin's like, yeah, maybe just a little, maybe a bit. This is also where Sina is like sneaking through the halls and Sina's like, Alina, your dad's going crazy. He's doing some shit. And this is where Leo's spear is like, hi, Sina. What are you doing? Come with me. And Alina's like, no, I'll take her. And Firm's like, yeah, we'll fucking take her. And he's like, no. The king overrules all y'all. I'm taking her. So sorry about that. Which kind of just twist the knife a little bit for Alina because her dad is already like really icing her out. Like really icing her out. And she has just no idea like what is going on really. So, you know, it is what it is. So going back to Leo ordering Firma to kill all of the priests, she does it. Like she does it. And he starts talking about like Alina's going to enjoy the priests, right? Like because Firma's going to be there and she's going to be the guard and the priests are not going to deny Alina during her coronation because we're going to have, this is like Leo's like crazy thoughts. Like we're going to have a closed coronation. The coronation's going to be closed and like only Janjir will be there.
And Janjir is like his like hype man, essentially. And the whole purpose is that he wants this coronation closed because if it's closed, nobody will be able to know that Alina can't wield fire. That's the whole purpose of like his thing. And he's telling Alina this and Alina's like, so you want to lie? He's like, well, it's not lying. Like, it has nothing to do with fire. You're still going to be a great queen. Like, you can rule the people. They just don't need to know that you can't wield fire.
And this is the confession that Leo gives Firma because he has to confess all of it. And this is where he spills all of it. This is after she's killed the priest. He comes out, like, telling about how he's going to it doesn't matter. Like, Alina will have Ravens. That's what she wants. Like, she doesn't have to hold fire. It'll be wartime. They'll be focused on war. It's not a big deal. Like, whatever, whatever, whatever. And Firm is like, all right, bet. So tell it to me. Tell it to me straight. Like, what is going on? And he's like, all right. The monarch can hold fire once they give a sacrifice of either blood or love. And this is when Leo is like, and who the fuck do you think that's going to be? Blood or love? And Firm is like, then die.
I love that part because
she's like, I'll die, you die, let's die.
Because I think it was that moment that he also questioned himself and his love for Alina, because Firma was very much like, if that's what it takes, yes, like she's worth it, that's what I'll do. Are you, and this is the part where we were talking about earlier, she goes, are you telling me you wouldn't die for your own daughter?
It's like, he's like,
you said the thing loud.
Yeah. And Firma's like, cause I will. And Leo's like, but you best not. Do not.
She cannot live. You can't do that to her. Like
you can't do that.
You can't have both her mother and you. And she's like, then you do it.
Yep.
And
then you do it.
And you need need to tell her this is the biggest thing. And he goes, because if you don't, I will.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is really, though, crazy that when that option is taken away, Leo is still just like, yeah, but no. Who's going to guide her, though?
Who's going to, like, I'm the only one who can get her in her queendom.
Definitely. Jess, as you said, we have the statue reveal in the procession, right? Alina's got this pod in her pocket. She needs Yasin to sneak her away after this statue reveal. The statues are hideous. Alina is in a gold cap. She hates it. So she sneaks away.
She didn't even know they were there. That was the best part. She's like, they're unveiling something. Oh, mm-hmm. My God, I'm in a gold cap, and stumbles. She's like, are you fucking kidding me?
I love this stalling that Alina does with Samson in the arena as she's waiting for all of these reports to drop in this, like, exhibition fighting during this, like, reveal. Because, like, Samson is, like, the surprise in this, like, I think it's, like, Birdsong Day. And Alina's like, oh, my God, just, like, I need more time for this drama to happen. Like, I need all of the drama to happen in front of me. What can I do? I'm going to fight Samson. Woo! The reports break. Janjir and Varun get into a huge fight, and they both get arrested. And this is where Alina drops the line, I am not kind to ruthless men. Snap, snap, snap. Bam, bam, bam. I love it. And then there's a mob. And then we go to Leo. There's 1 week to coronation. You know how I love this stuff. This is where we have the I am already damned. I don't have any more guilt, Leo.
Oh, because, well, this is the part also where we know that he's already killed the prophet, who was a girl, and now he's finding out prophet is a he now, and it can't be Leo because Leo can't be it twice or something.
Mm-hmm. Yep. This is also where Leo figures out that Alina is the one that made Janjir and Varun turn on each other. And this is where he has a huge, overwhelming sense of disappointment to Alina. And he's just, like, totally ices her out from, like, here until a little bit after she's attacked.
Because this is where he's also like, what did you do? You stupid girl. That's what and she sees it on his face too. And she's also like, wait, what?
And this is also where she's like, why don't you ever ask me what you want? He's like, what do you want? She's like, for you to ask without being prompted. He's like, fuck.
Real?
Fuck. I mean, yeah, like totally. Totally real. Samson and Yasin have, like, a little moment. He's like, yo, I'm leaving after the coronation. Like, bam, I'm done. Like, and Samson's like, you're super tired, my guy. Like, why don't you take this map with all these tunnels and all this ore? Go to your dad's cabin. I heard this thing about a metal so fine it can cut through steel. Like, I don't know. Maybe you just go up there and chill or whatever. And Yasin's
like, but it's also
like
where he's loosely kind of admitting to himself, he as in Yasin, might be having feelings for Alina because he's like, oh, yeah. Because he's also talking to her at one point, and they're having a conversation about the future, and it was the first time he realized, oh, well, I'm leaving after this, and he already had the conversation with Samson. Samson's like, aren't you going to come to my wedding? He goes, no, I'm going for my freedom.
Yeah, like, I'm out. I'm totally out. We have a quiet moment between Firma and Yasin where she admits that she killed all the priests, and Yasin is like, yo, we all do crazy shit. It is what it is. It's fine. I am going to hold hands with Alina. I see you. You're brave. I see you. Firma, Yasin, what the fuck are you doing? Go to the king. Go to the king. Because Varun is here. He's demanding an audience. I need to, like, back up my shit. This is where Varun is like, yo, what's with these pods? What's with this? You use the unsung. What's going on? Reports don't lie. And Alina's like, damn, arrest this motherfucker.
I like this part. And by the way, we're going to tell everybody that he was colluding with John Gear, who we just threw into treason too.
Yep. Yep. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Now we're on to one of my absolute favorite parts, which is when Alina and Firma go to Firma's like warrior center, and Firma shows Alina the Uni goddess and talks about like the Uni desert spiders and how they used to have fire, but then they lost it. I think that's going to be very important later. And all this like this theme of the desert spiders and how this like warrior women, and they used to hold fire and then they lost it, but now they have the fighting form and their hair. It's just this whole thing of like reclaim power. I'm very interested in this storyline. Okay.
Which also is so sad of spoiler when Firma dies.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, I wanted more.
Yep. She goes, my Firma. This is where Alina starts her fire dance. And this is where she has a blowout fight with Firma, too. But we're also talking about three types of fire. Like, one is Phoenix. One is a serpent. The other is like, So, knowing that this is like, you know, Indian mythology, I will go on a wild assumption and say that this goddess is Kali. But I do not want to be wrong. So take that with a grain of salt. But from the descriptions, possibly. This is where Firma is like, I want you to have fire. No matter what. But they fight about it. She's like, I was thinking you. I want to be able to control this. And this is where she gets hit with it. Where Alina gets hit with it again. Well, Firma's like, well, maybe it's a blessing you can't hold fire. And Alina's like, fucking stop it.
Especially because thinking of Firma was like, think your happy thought, and her happy thought was Firma. And then to have this person that has been your rock be the person who's not in your corner for the thing you thought they would be in your corner for, it really did a number on her. And the whole thing behind it was Firma wanted to show her how to wield magic, and that there wasn't, or not magic, but fire, and that there was a possibility of wielding it more than the one way that she had been familiar with her entire life. But when that didn't pan out, I'll say yet, because we still have two more books that didn't pan out in this moment. It kind of is like, you know what? It's not all that it's cracked up to be.
But Alina doesn't care. She's like, no. Fuck it. No, I'm going to fight for this. I want my kingdom. I want my birthright. And all you motherfuckers are going to be sorry because I'm going to do it myself. And she throws herself into researching. And this is where she discovers Jasmine, the tea shop, and Anna, and being friends. So that this is fun.
Because this is where she finds the scrolls that her mother was working. Because let's remember, she was in the library because she was trying to figure out how to wield the fire in the first place. Now she's kind of still doing that, but pivoting, looking at the things that her mother was looking at. And she's finding scrolls of her mother. And this includes letters that her mother has written. And one of those letters was to the tea shop, Jasmine at the tea shop.
Yep. And this is where she's like, all right, Yasin, take me away to the tea shop after this. I'm giving a speech. I'm going to wrap me up and I'm going to talk about unity and peace and trials for Janjir and Varun. And after I do that, let's go. And Yasin's like, all right, let's go to the tea shop. She gets to the tea shop. Firma is already there. They're fighting. They had a fight, but Firma's already there. This is, again, the theme of thinking ahead. Like, Firma was two steps ahead of her. And Firma's also like, you could have gotten everybody fucking killed because you did this. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Think, which I did really like. Then we have the reveal of Jasmine. She was a mythologist with her mom. They were friends. Then her mom got with Leo. And then they had, like, a big falling out. They had, when Alina was 3 years old, like, they came. They, like, sparked their friendship. They talked about her mom liking sports. Again, this is where Alina gets the last page of the fire dance, and we get the letter to Alina. And then it's like, your mom didn't tell me what was so terrible, but it was terrible.
I I was just thinking about like the little things and the friendships. Yeah, yes, it was terrible, but I was thinking like the way her mom would take her time for herself as Anna, the person, and not Anna, mm-hmm. the mom, and just to go watch sports with her best friend. I thought that was mm-hmm. really, really sweet. And that she was still willing to rekindle that friendship, because that's also not always easy to bridge sometimes, like when you have a fallout.
Mm-hmm.
And then still wanting to be there for her daughter.
Exactly. And still wanting to be there, but not knowing how, and knowing that communication was like very stilted. And then she was left with all of this stuff when Anna died. So it's like, huh. So this is where, you know, we have letters being passed. We have like, thank you, thank you, thank you. There is an attack. This is the attack where Firma is killed and Yasin saves Alina and like bundles her into a pod, takes her back to the palace, and Alina is shot. I believe she shot in the arm or like, no, she shot in like the shoulder.
Like the shoulder. Yeah. It's like right yeah. under the shoulder or something.
Yasin,
like I imagined it was like
knew
here.
This attack was going to happen. The whole time Yasin knew. He did not know that they said that they were going to scare Alina. He didn't know that they were going to kill Firma, but Yasin wanted to save Firma. He like called out to her and the arrow scene clocked. That and they were like, what the fuck was that, when they talked to him later?
Yes, because then I was wondering, like, is that why they went to kill? Like, first they were just going to do a little damage to Firma, but then when he looked like he was going to give Firma a heads up, that was when they decided to go for the kill shot.
Yep. We go to Leo is like, yo, Samson, what the fuck use are you? Why are you so use, like, what is going on? BT Dubs, you need to find the prophet now. It's a man, and I need to test you, son. And he burns Samson just to make sure. This is where he also finds out that Alina has been attacked, and this is where Leo's like, oh my god, nothing else matters. My heir has been attacked, my daughter, my life, my future, everything. Is she okay? Holy shit, Firm is dead.
Which I like that Leo went into dad mode.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Alina is waking up in the room. She's like passed out and she remembers eventually that Firma has been killed. And this is where she like burns down her section of the palace in like this rage that she has. And the fire is going to come and like take Leo too. But Alina is able to control it before she passes out. And they then call her the Burning Queen.
What a great name.
It's rad. Oh, it's so rad. Oh, my gosh.
And I get that everybody's scared of her and she's like burning down her wing. But like, you know what? Good for her.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We have now our confession. Leo and Alina sit down and they hash it out. This is like, yo, blood or love. That's how you hold fire. It's blood or love. You know, we have to die. And I killed all the priests, by the way, I killed them all. And this is what I have to tell you, Alina. If you need to become the villain, do it. Do whatever you have to do to keep this kingdom safe.
I highlighted that quote.
Yeah, like, and she's like, okay. And he's like, only you can do this. Like, you have to do this. I think it is interesting that he confesses all of this now after he is like realizing how important he actually or she actually is to him. But also it is kind of like this, what else can he do, right? Like he's killed all the priests. He's hunting for the prophet. He's got Samson out looking, like it's all coming to a head. So at coronation, he's not changing the coronation date. That's set in stone as per tradition. So it's
I almost didn't take this as a, oh my gosh, I realized you almost died and I want to confess this to you. It just felt like another, well, I got nothing left to lose now.
Yep. It's like, here it is. It's all happening. Sweet moment with Alina and Alina and Yasin and Firma, and they are Yasin and Alina are like talking to the sky and talking about grief and like burning Firma, and they talk about how important she was, and a lot of this book is about the exploration of grief and how you as a person express your grief and how that changes you as a person. because Alina has her mother's grief and now Firma's grief, and then her father's and her country's and her king, you know, her kingdoms, all of this stuff. But her father's grief has shaped him in a way that impacts Alina for the rest of her life, at least throughout this book. And she says, like, you know, grief is this double-edged sword that both of us have been wielding to hurt each other. And that is silly. We should have been holding each other, which is so true.
So it reminds me of Legend Born.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely it does.
So Farron is being creepy toward, that's my notes. Farron is being creepy towards Samson. He's really alluding to certain things, but please keep in mind, like, I think I forgot the fact that they were already kind of working together. So because they were already working together, it was kind of like their interactions when they're in Ravens. But there's also a dance that Alina has with Samson, and they're making plans. They're trying to, or so she thinks, not realizing that she's been being worked against the whole time, really.
The thing that I really like about this ball and this dance is I like the dance that Samson and Alina do, where it's like, yo, you know what? I'm really upset after this, like, little verbal sparring that I did with the king, with King Farron. If war happens, Alina, how far are you willing to go? Like, how far are you willing to go? And Alina's like, oh, far enough to protect my kingdom. And this is where Samson's like, just yours?
This is him getting her on his side about going from wanting peace to are you willing to go to war, which has always been his MO since the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Always, always, always. And it is worth mentioning that Samson is a little bit rough with Alina here, and he bruises her when he is dancing with her. And she's like, that's weird. So does he not know his own strength when he is upset because he's got hot? Is he a dry? I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Alina needs air after this, and she goes to Yasin's door, but he isn't there because he is meeting with Akros, and this is where the plan gets changed. This is where he gets called out about, you know, warning them about Firma. This is where they talk about, like, Alina's going to die. The strike's going to happen. All of this is going to happen. Like, be ready. Yeah. And this is where Yasin is just like, all right, bet. One last thing. And then, like, totally free. Just deliver Alina and you're done. And this is where Yasin is like, wait. But Alina can hold fire. And they're like, whatever, man. We don't care.
He's trying to give her extra time because he's like, but if she can do this, it's going to make her harder to get.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's also like, So we'll see. And from here, Yasin realizes at the end of this, he's like, hey, what's going to happen to Samson? I haven't spared him a single thought until right now. He must live. Samson must live right now. Yasin goes back to the palace. This is where he runs into Alina. You will not want me when this is over, Alina. GTFO. And he's like, all right, well, it doesn't matter because it's my coronation day.
It's coronation day.
We love it. Alina gets the letter back from her mother that Dia kept safe for her. She also apologizes for, like, almost murdering everybody after her rampage, which is nice, you know.
I mean, yes, it's nice, but I just get it.
I know, we get it. But we also get the line of, like, we all do awful things in grief, which I thought was really nice. She reads the letter, which is the revelation of how Ravens was actually built. Jess, do you want to take us through that?
Nope, because I don't remember it.
All right, I got you. Ravnance was built with the eldest daughter's heart buried in the sand. It wasn't the phoenix.
This is that, like, chapter. Okay, I know where we are.
Yeah, it wasn't the phoenix. It was, like, a darker power helped Alibor, and it tormented him and drove him into madness, and it is because of his sin that the eternal fire demands sacrifice.
He killed both of his daughters, or one of them watched. There was two daughters that one of them watched, and the heart was buried in the sand. And then he was part of that land, and that land was part of them.
Yes.
And then it took 300 years to build into what it was today.
Exactly. And this darker power that Alibor used is as old as the Phoenix, but different than the Phoenix. And it trapped the Phoenix in a stony hell. So the Phoenix is not Ravens's true god. And Alina's like, oh, well, bet. That's why it never answered me. Of course. Of course. This makes total sense. But it also, like, completely destroys like everything that she's known, like on her coronation day, which is like just crazy. And also we have this little other things like fire rages because it grieves and the Phoenix will be released and the prophet will burn. Again, Alina, there are three types of fire. This is all like very important.
And that's like repeated throughout the book too. It's like there are three fires, there are three types of fires, there are three types of fires, but we're only focusing on the one up until we hear about the Yumi goddess. And then we have two for sure, but we're still like hanging on for three.
Yeah. Yeah. We're still there for three, which is probably. So we'll get there. Okay. So at the coronation, Alina realizes like she really only has herself. You know, she meets Leo and she drops the line like, you know, mom was your keeper. Gang, gang, mic drop. And then he's like, you know what? The fire's going to ask for a sacrifice. Like, you need to be ready. She's like, I can control it, even though it's a closed coronation. There's lots of guards, lots of medics. This is also where Yasin is taken and tested. And he is burned and also beaten up. So it's not him. And Alina is crowned. She, you know, there's like the horn, the flame, the whole thing. But then there is a massive, utter, complete explosion. And Leo falls into the eternal flame and burns alive. Now, we don't see him die. But I can't argue with Yasin's, I can't. Because technically, that's the sacrifice, right?
That's how I kind of saw it. I mean, I know we're usually no head, not dead, which will play into effect in like a little bit when we talk about Samson at the end. Mm-hmm. But I feel like this one was the sacrifice because the dialogue also felt like the fire was making up for the fact that his wife went in and not him because it should have been somebody of his lineage.
Mm-hmm. It's all very interesting.
And like the fire was big mad and he had, you know, 20 something years to kind of sit with the fire, to sit with that anger.
Yeah. And kind of be like, what is. Yeah. Yeah. Very, very fun stuff here. This is when I say, like, I like when the thing happens. This is the thing.
I feel like the thing happens a lot in this book. There's no assumption. Mm-hmm. Like, the priests die. People are burned. People, like there are stakes that feel, that are low stakes at the time, but they're big stakes in the whole political scheme of things.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go through this quickly. The temple is breaking apart. Yasin and Alina escape to the forest. You know, there's lots of jumping off ledges. There's lots of Yasin following jumping off ledges. There's lots of saving from assassins. There's lots of cover being blown. Yasin confesses to Alina that he knew. She calls him a traitor. They see Samson clinging to a fountain and then falling. And they're like, well, he's dead. And then they go off to the history. And this is where the book tells us the true history of Robins. And let's go through that. Alibor was a preacher. He wanted a better life and he wanted, like, he was, you know, destined, future destiny, all that stuff. He had a wife and two daughters, Joda, and I will butcher this, Seminyana. I do not think that's right. And they were in the desert for 50 nights. They wandered. They found a desert spot because Alibor was sent a vision and they ended up at Dervada Mountain. They rode rooks to get there, which I thought was interesting. And that is when Alibor was like, we are going to have our fucking kingdom right here. I'm going to get the eternal fire. I see a spark in the mountains. I know how to get it. And the daughters are like, okay. All right, fine. The followers go out to the desert. They work at night under the two moons to build a city. And then a little bit later, when the city starts to like really flourish, Alibor takes his two daughters back out into the desert and he kills his eldest daughter, cuts her heart out and buries the heart and the sword, which I thought was interesting, in the desert. And it is from there that, like, sparks grew and the phoenix came. And the phoenix said, like, oh, you know, you and the desert, like, now share the heart. You shall have my heart. And the Ravani kingdom started then. That was, and I'm just like, there are 300 sons ago. Joda, the sister, succeeded. And she kind of preached about, like, forgiveness and how we all deserve to be forgiven. But she was, like, very haggard throughout all of her reign. This was what Anna had, like, sent to Jasmine, like, all of this, like, stuff, the true history.
Yeah, because it's written in a letter form and it's signed AM.
Yep, exactly. Now is the backslide of this book, which is essentially, I mean, let's just go over this very quickly. Essentially, it's Yasin and Alina working the desert, him confessing that he loves her. More or less.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're in the desert because they escaped the fire of the coronation day. Basically, the city's under attack. The Jatharis are attacking the Ravanis. They leave. They dip based on the maps that Samson had given. So they knew, like, some underground passages and ways. They make it out to the desert. Now they're just like, let's go.
Yeah,
and it's kind of a journey. You know what it kind of reminded me of? You know, I mean, granted, as of right now, we don't think Yasin is terrible. But, you know, in Ballads of Songbirds and Snakes, where Coriolanus is, you know, going off with Rachel, and they're just doing their little trek. That's what this felt like. Stay in the hut. Stay in this cabin. You stay here. I knew, like, nothing bad happened in this book, but that little journey of, like, it's just us two.
Yeah, and it is like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles too, because they're just, like, doing everything to get out to this cabin, which they finally do. Spoiler alert: they end up fucking. Good for them. And they have conversations just about, like, do we blow up the mines? Do we find the ore? Do we defeat the army? What do we do? We have all this information. We should really do something. Are we obligated? We should fight back. Or they just go in, like, over and over and over again. Essentially, Alina burns down one of the mining rigs. And that ended up being, like, a trap. Because there was, like, a little bit of fire there, and there, like, weren't enough, like, hover pods there, and there was, like, two, but there was supposed to be three. So it was all a big trap to find her. And then this is where Yasin is just like, I told you to leave. You made me promise if we did this fucking stupid ass shit, then you would listen when I told you to run. Now run. And that is where, Alina starts running kind of blindly, like, into the tunnels.
Yeah, I was going to say she finally, because up until that point, he would tell her, like, here's the rules. Like, if I tell you to jump, you jump. If I tell you to stay hidden, you stay hidden. If you need to run. And she's like, but you promised yourself to me.
Yep.
He's like, but.
And then so from here, Yasin is shot and he just, like, goes into the light. And that's the last we hear of him. The rest of it is Alina stumbling through the tunnels. She's in, like, the glowing tunnels. Something is chasing her. She doesn't know what's going on. She gets to the military base and she bangs on the door. The dragon soldiers open the door and they're like, yo, we've been waiting for you. And that is the end of Alina's story. Jump to the epilogue. It is Samson alive and flourishing, wielding, sitting, doing all the things in fire, and basically destroying the iconography of the phoenix.
This is where we say no head, not dead. We were like,
yeah. And Samson knows about Yasin's role in the attack. And he's like, when I find him, I will help him. Like, he is just so brainwashed. Oh my gosh. He can tell from the fire that Alina is alive and a fire blood like him. And her flame is like salt and like earth, and it's different. And he tells the fire to bring her to me. He's like, yo, Sina, sup, let me heal you. Let's have things crawl out of you. You are mine now. Here is all of this. The landless king, the prophet, he breaks the phoenix statue and he says, we will no longer pray
to false gods.
Bam Bam, the end.
Like, both strong last sentence in an epilogue, knowing that we have a trilogy. And also, if you didn't read the epilogue, some people just, like, want their breather when they do. It's a great last sentence for where we end with Alina's journey, too, of, like, we've been waiting. Let's get shit done. What that means, we don't know. And I don't think, like, we know it's a trilogy, but we don't know when that second book is being released just yet.
Here's my confession to you. Obviously, this is running long. I did not read the bonus chapter here.
Me either. I'm so glad you said that. Because yeah. I had like 5 minutes till we started when I finished the book.
Oh.
And I was like, well, finished before the bonus chapter. I was like, I won't touch the bonus chapter.
I just wanted to stay in the, like, the final moment of it, because it's so strong with Samson, that I didn't want to go back and have a sweet moment between Firma, Anna, and Alina. I wanted to save that for, like, now, so that I can really enjoy that now.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
After.
Like, after talking through it.
Yeah, after talking through everything, to, like, sit and, like, relax now with it, because it's just such a strong ending.
It really is. Where you want more. And I know that that is a testament to a good, strong first book. But we also know that sometimes with a first book, you don't know how it can be set up just based on publishing deals, especially when it's a traditional publisher. It could go either way.
Now, before we end, I just want to complain about one little thing. Just one little thing. So obviously, as we have stated over and over again during this 2 hours, I'm sorry, it's 2 hours, episode. I, Jess, you and I did the audio for this, and I am going to complain a little bit and say that the narrator for Yasin was not my personal cup of tea. I did not enjoy his narration. Yasin's story is obviously very good, but the tone, the inflection, the emotion, the voices, the passion, it just wasn't there for me. It didn't hit, and it wasn't enjoyable.
No, I think we were talking, I was telling you this too, that I also tried to increase the speed to see if maybe it was a speed thing. I know we've had that conversation just with audiobooks in general. And the more I sped it up to try to make it more palatable, for lack of a better word, it felt even more stilted than, like, you could hear the brakes harder when it was increased in speed. So I do agree with you with Yasin specifically. I had no issue. And I didn't, and this is just me being poor on my research. I don't know if the same voice narrator who did Yasin also did Leo, because I had no qualms with Leo. That was just, like, very, because, you know, sometimes you could have, like, one person do multiple voices. So that's, again, that's on me. But how Yasin specifically came across was not it. But, like, Leo was fine. Alina was great. And looking forward to, like, how the story continues. But with all of that being said, thanks for your time. Thanks for your patience. Please make sure you can find us on Instagram at ACAFE Podcast. We're also both on TikTok, ACAFE Laura and ACAFE Jessica. And we hope to talk to y'all soon. Bye.
Bye.